Aren't you glad our young people are singing in youth choir on Wednesday night instead of out in the sin and at home just doing the things that young people normally do? They're here having church. Amen. Fat young people, don't get real comfortable. I don't ask a whole lot of you. I'm really glad you sit right there, but I get a kink in my neck sometimes trying to look at you. So for just tonight, we got these three long pews right here. I want all the young people to come and just scoot over this way. We might have revival right here. You know, if we get some people to sit in a different seat. Hallelujah. Just filter on over. Just move right across the aisle. We're a church on the move. Doesn't that look nice? I'll explain why in just a few moments here. We still got room here. Just scoot on in. Sister Ruth wouldn't mind some of you sitting by her. She'd feel real young. Well, maybe not so with... Now, I know we were in the middle of the series, but I didn't feel like I could go there tonight. I want to talk to you from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. I mean, we could talk to you just a little bit, but I want to talk to you tonight about the happiness in hunger. The happiness in hunger. You can just remain seated tonight. Verse 6 of chapter 5, this is Christ's Sermon on the Mount, and he is giving the Beatitudes. And would you read this with me across the building? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One more time. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The happiness in hunger. Now, I'm speaking to all of us tonight. I'm speaking to the whole church. But in particular, young people, I want to talk to you. I'm targeting you and what I have to say. And not just these young people, but any children we might have here, any young adults, young married couples. Let me explain. On Sunday, on the way to lunch, we went out to lunch. Andrew was sitting in the back seat, 10 years old, and he said, "Dad, I am so hungry, I could eat a cow." I said, "Son, you only ate breakfast a little over 3 hours ago. How can you be hungry?" He said, "I don't know, but I'm going to starve to death if we don't get there soon." Now, I got to thinking about that, and I remember those days. I remember at the age of 15 when I grew 7 inches in 1 year. I thought on a Sunday morning that preacher would never get through preaching. That I was going to starve to death sitting there on the pew. I mean, the hunger pains were so acute. I didn't actually think I could survive to get home. And then my mother's always been fast at everything. But we'd get home. I thought she would never get dinner on the table. I was certain. I was so ravenously hungry. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It wasn't just great hunger. I had a great capacity at that time in my life. I could eat a lot. I remember many times we had open campus and at high school, and we would go to McDonald's. We never had a McDonald's. Town of 30,000, never had one until I was in ninth grade. And so in high school, at lunch, that was a favorite spot. And we would go there, and you know the smaller hamburgers, not the Big Macs, but just the regular hamburger. I would eat 6 of them, French fries, and top it off with an ice cream cone at lunch. And then I'd go home, and supper was at 4:30, and I was hungry for supper. I mean, I could eat a lot. I had such a hunger as a young person. Now, I want you to think about that, young people, for just a moment. Maybe relate. Now, last Sunday, we went out to lunch. Andrew ate his cow. And I ate everything on my plate, drank a bunch of pop. This is about 1:30. And then I noticed after church that night, you know, used to every service after Sunday night service, I'd go home and I'd be eating nachos and ice cream. And I went home and I wasn't hungry yet. The next morning I got up, I never ate breakfast, and I still didn't feel much hunger pains. Now, this may not be true for all of you, but I notice that the older I get, the less hungry I get between meals. And I've noticed that the less food I'm able to eat. I used to go to a buffet. It was at least three platefuls. One plateful fills me up. Now, if you think I'm talking about food, I'm not. I want you to think about those illustrations that I've given you. And I want you to know, I truly believe, listen to me, young people, I truly believe that what is true physically is true spiritually in the course of our lives. I really believe that people, when they're young, they seem to have a greater sense of spiritual hunger, and they seem to have a greater capacity to experience the things of God. I truly believe that. I know that two ways. Number one, I know that from history. I think of the history of the great revivals. And I did a study some years back, but in history, the great revivals, they began with young people. Last Wednesday night, we watched the video of the Asbury Revival, young people in a Bible college. Here in America in the early 1700s, the first great awakening, young people, after the evening service, begin to come to the pastor and ask him questions and want to meet, and revival struck colonial America. On and on we could go. We could talk about the great revival of Wales, the Welsh revival. It began with young people. Not only that, Topeka, Kansas, the beginning of Pentecost here in America. It was young people. You want to know where the Pentecostal revival came from in India? Children in a children's home begin to seek the Lord. So I am telling you, what is true physically is true spiritually. When you were young, you seemed to have a greater sense of spiritual hunger and a greater capacity to experience the move of God. I know that a second way, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be reflective. But in all my reading, I never remember of revival breaking out in a retirement community. When's the last time have you heard of revival breaking out at a nursing home? Now listen, I'm not disparaging retirement, nursing homes. I'm getting too close to that period of my own life to be making wisecracks about it. And yes, I believe older people hunger after God. And I believe older people can experience God and know God and worship God. I believe all that. But as a rule, on the whole, young people have the greater hunger or greater sense of hunger and the greater capacity for spiritual things. Who was it began to move out first in our services on Sunday? Again, I'm not disparaging the rest of you. I'm one of you. And we don't have to sit back and not experience. We want to. I'm saying you do. But it's these young people that have such a tremendous capacity to get a hold of God, to experience that hunger. And so I want to tell you, young people, tonight, you're at a prime age to hunger after God and experience Him. One of the young ladies quoted in the choir, and I have it written down right here. I like that scripture. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. And we think in terms of the general scheme of time, but today it hit me. Seek the Lord while He may be found. If you're more likely to find God at any time in your life, it's when you're young. So seek the Lord while He may be found. That could be saying, seek Him while you're young. That's when you're going to find Him. That's when you're going to find that He's near. Praise the name of the Lord. I want Brother Mike to bring the scripture back up. I'm going to make just some quick observations before we pray tonight. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The first thing I want us to take note of is that these verses, the things that this verse doesn't say we should hunger after. The things that Jesus doesn't say we should hunger after. Notice what it says. It says hunger after righteousness. It doesn't say hunger after blessing. It doesn't say hunger after something exciting. It doesn't say hunger after good feelings, a great feeling. It doesn't say hunger after something that's novel. It doesn't say hunger after a sensational manifestation. It doesn't even say hunger after the gifts of the Spirit or to hunger after the power of God. Jesus said, hunger after righteousness. In fact, Sister Brock, I think if we're just hungering after power and excitement and sensation and a good feeling, I think we're going to get off track on this thing. But Jesus says, hunger after righteousness. I want to ask you tonight, and I've wondered this out loud today. I wonder how much of our church world in America is really after righteousness. I wonder how many in the realm of Pentecost are really after righteousness. And then I begin to bring it home. I wonder if our church is one that hungers after righteousness. And then I brought it down. I wonder if I am really hungry after righteousness. Oh, I tell you what we need to desire. I tell you what we need to be hungry for. We need to be hungry something just exciting happened. We need to be hungry about crowds and hungry about good music. No, Jesus said hunger after righteousness. Righteousness. So that's the first thing. I wanted us to know what Jesus said and didn't say we should hunger after. And the second thing I want us to note is this. And it's posed as a question. Why did Jesus say hunger after righteousness and not say hunger after God? Wouldn't you have thought that Jesus would have... I'm not trying to tell Jesus how to preach. I'm just wondering. But in his sermon, don't you think it would have fit better? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after God, for they shall be filled. It even sounds a little better. Here I'm trying to edit Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Why didn't Jesus say hunger after God? Last night, before I went to sleep, it hit me. I believe this is the answer. I believe it's really very simple. Listen to me. It's because our hunger for God will arise out of our sense of our unrighteousness. I know the world don't want, or the church world don't want to hear this, and it don't sound too exciting, but I am convinced from reading through Scripture that our hunger for God rises out of our awareness of our unrighteousness. You see, when I realize that I'm unrighteous, I take note of it, I begin to sense my need for help with my unrighteousness. I sense I've got to have help. I get the sense that I can't clean up myself. I can't take care of what's wrong with myself. I need assistance. I need someone greater than I am. So it's in my awareness of my unrighteousness that I begin to hunger after God and see my need of Him. Or could I just put it this way? To hunger after righteousness is to hunger after God. Because there's none righteous, no, not one, except God. And if I'm truly hungering after righteousness, that's whom I'm hungering after. I'm hungering after God. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad He's righteous? He's light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. He's pure and undefiled. You see, I've found that that's the common characteristic. You've heard me say this many times, and I want to tell you again tonight. If you want to know whether something's a true move of God, whether it's already happened in history or it's currently happening, if you want to know if it's a true move of God or not, look for this. Does it have this characteristic? With what is being called a move of God, is there awareness and conviction of sin? Do people have a desire to be free from sin and clean in their heart and their life and their mind? Amen. Every true revival had that characteristic. As people began to reach out to the Lord, they did so with a desire for cleansing, for sanctification, for purification, for Christ's likeness, for righteousness. They realized and knew and felt that only God could give them the righteousness that they needed. And so Jesus says, hunger after righteousness, because when you're hungering after righteousness, you're hungering after the only one who can make you righteous. You say amen? True righteousness only comes from God. Experience of Him. If what you have you call righteousness, if it didn't come from an experience of God, if it wasn't given to you by God, it's not true righteousness. Can you say amen? Have you noticed that we're never more aware of the presence of God than when we sense His holiness? Think about that. We are never, ever more aware of the presence of God than when we sense His holiness. Hunger after righteousness. And then as I read this simple promise of the Lord, and I begin to think of what Jesus said, listen to what He's actually saying to me and to you. He's telling us that only righteousness can fill us. It's so simple that sometimes we read right over it. We don't stop and think about it. But what Jesus is actually saying is that only righteousness can fill us. I begin to think about that. You know, we think of righteousness in terms of what makes us right, what makes us okay with God, what gets us off the hook. But Jesus brings another aspect to this. Only righteousness can fill our hearts. You know, that says a whole lot in a little space. It says, first of all, that all of us have a big empty space and place in our life that begs to be filled. And I believe that. I believe God has created man that way. Young people, with all the other desires you're becoming aware of and all the other realities of life, the thing we ought to be just to admit right off and get it over with, that you, like everyone else, has been created with this big old empty place and void in your heart, and nothing but God can fill that void. You can try everything of this world and nothing will fill it. Jesus says here that only righteousness can fill that void. I want to tell you something really plain, really simple. Unrighteousness can never fill the void, the emptiness of your heart. I want to put it this way. Therefore, the world can never fill. The things of the world can never fill the empty feeling of your heart. Why can't the world fill the emptiness of your heart? Because the world is unrighteous. Why can't the filth on television fill your heart? It's unrighteous. Why can't the ways of the young people of the world, the partying, the carousing, and all that's connected with, why can't that fill your heart? Because it's unrighteous. And only righteousness can fill your heart. You know what that means? That means only God can fill your heart, because He's the only one that's truly righteous. Hallelujah. And so, young people, there comes a time in our life that we become aware that all those things, the things we long to try, the things we long to experience, the things that we slip up and we involve ourselves in, the conversations, the things on social media, the things that's available on the internet and television, we come to the place that we are aware that the more we partake of those things, the more empty we are becoming. Have you noticed that already? If you've partaken of those things, you begin to recognize the more you partake, the more empty you come. And then God is gracious, and He comes by and reminds us only righteousness can fill our hearts. Hallelujah. And then just a couple more things here. When I look at this simple message in Christ's sermon, I see such a promise here. He said, blessed. Blessed. Go ahead and just say it. Blessed. The worldly crowd? No. Those that pursue the pleasures and the ways and the experiences of the world? No. Who are blessed? They which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You may have heard it many times, but I want to remind you, and hence the title tonight, blessed, literally comes from the word that means happy and content. So let's think about that for a moment. Let's take that. Jesus said, if you are a young person that has a hunger for God and a thirst for spiritual things, you're going to be happy and content in your life. You know what the converse of that is? If you're a young person that has a desire for worldly things and worldly pleasures and worldly experience, I promise you, you can write it down tonight and date it. You will never, ever, ever, ever be happy and content. Jesus knows what makes us happy. What will make you the happiest in your young life and growing up, the thing that will make you the happiest is to hunger after God. I want to know right now, young people, maybe I forget which young lady read it, but Why couldn't you take that as your model in these weeks of revival? Seek the Lord while he may be found. And it may have a different historical meaning in Scripture to what was going on with Israel, but take it for yourself that as a youth, this is the time you can really seek God. This is a time you can really hunger after God. And you can say to yourself and as a youth group, we're going to seek the Lord while he may be found. And to us, while he may be found is when we're young. How many knows when most folks are converted? When they're young. Do you want to be blessed? Hunger after God. And last of all, I know there's much more. The last thing that came to my heart today, and I've noted this before because I've really thought about it. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He never said, blessed are they that are filled because they have hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He didn't put the blessed upon being filled. He puts the blessed upon the hungering and thirsting. You know what I have found? It's not just the outpouring of the Spirit that blesses me, Brother Keith. If I'll really seek him, I begin to feel blessed and happy and content just seeking him. It's not just coming out in a worship service and the Spirit of the Lord whoo, and fills you up. Yes, that's a blessing. But you can be blessed getting in one of the prayer rooms and begin to seek him with earnestness. In the seeking, you're blessed. It's not just in the obtaining and the feeling. It's the very process of the seeking. I look back at my life as a young person, and some of the most blessed, happy times I can think of were times that I was actively, urgently, passionately seeking the Lord. Well, what about those other things? I'm young. I want to think about boyfriend and girlfriend. I want to think about a job, and I want to think about, you know, all the wonderful things to experience in life. What about those other things? Two verses and I'm done. Just a few verses and a few little stories here. Jesus said later in the sermon, Matthew 6:32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. First thing I take from those verses is I shouldn't be seeking what the world's seeking. That's simple. If I'm seeking what the world's seeking, I'm not seeking righteousness. But look what he says in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I promise you, if you'll seek God and his righteousness, you won't have to worry about those other things. God will give you the other good things in the good time and the right time if you're seeking him. I really believe that. I believe a Christian young person doesn't have to go out seeking a mate. You seek God and he'll put the one in your life. How many believes that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I had a little thought, and I know I'm being disjointed tonight, but I had a little thought for all of us tonight. What if we sought Christ like he has sought us? Think about it. What if we would seek Christ the way he has sought us? I want to, don't you? And so I'm challenging all of us tonight to seek righteousness, to seek the Lord, to seek revival. But young people, I especially want to challenge you. Another disjointed thought. Don't use up your youth on the world. Talk about Bible reading. I was reading about Ahab. All the wickedness this morning that he did in Israel. And you know how the Bible put it? The Bible said he sold himself to do evil. He sold himself. Young people, you've got energy. You've got youth. You've got vitality. You've got a future. You can give all that to seek the Lord, or you can give all that and sell all that for the things of the world. Right? Give it to God. Instead of selling yourself to do unrighteousness and wickedness as Ahab did and evil, sell yourself for the things of God. Amen. And so I think as we begin to seek the Lord, things are going to happen. Let me give you just three quick stories. First of all, I've mentioned this a little bit somewhere in the last little bit, but in that great revival in Wales, there were precursors, but they bring back the origin of that revival to a young girl. I learned tonight for the first time as I was doing some more research on her, her name was Flory. Flory had only been saved 3 weeks. The preacher had preached and she became very disturbed and she went to him, "What's wrong with me?" He talked with her a little bit and he said, "The thing that's wrong with you is that you are holding back on God. You're not giving yourself completely to God." The pastor's last name was Jenkins. He got up on a Sunday night and he said to the young people, he said, "I want to ask you a question tonight. Instead of preaching, I'm going to ask you a question. What does Jesus mean to you?" The year's 2004. "What does Jesus mean to you?" And someone said, "Well, Jesus is the Savior of the world." And the preacher said, No. "I want to know what Jesus means to you." And the youth sat there in silence. And then 15-year-old Flory, been saved 3 weeks, she stood up, began to weep, and said, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And 100,000 people were saved in that revival. Because young people have a capacity to hunger and seek after God. Another little story I want to share with you briefly. I went to Bible school with this girl. I heard her pastor tell the story later. It was a time in the church when the youth group, many of them were going through a time of rebellion. Couldn't get them to pay attention. Couldn't get them to sit up front. Couldn't get them to get in the service. They sat in the back. And the girl I went to school with was particularly rebellious. And this is from, I'm downloading this from many, many moons ago. So I'm trying to get it as accurate as I can. But this one girl was particularly rebellious. They were in a service, trying to have service, trying to see God move. And just to show rebellion, she just jumped up, went to get a drink at the water fountain, got out there in the hall and got to the water fountain, and conviction hit her so strong right there that she fell down on the ground and began to call out to God. People began to hear it. Young people flooded out there to see what was going on, and revival hit in the hallway by the water fountain. Amen. Revival might hit if we just closed the water fountain off. Last story I want to tell you happened when I was a teenager. I was old enough, we already had, you know, those jobs working late Saturday night, restaurants and those things. Went into Sunday school. You know, everybody just kind of skips into Sunday school. "I'm so glad I'm here, hallelujah," right? You young people do that? "Bring it on, teacher, we're ready for anything you have for us." We got in Sunday school class. I don't even remember how it started. I know we was all trying to stay awake. Teacher's trying to teach. I don't know how it all started. But somebody started praying in the teen Sunday school class. All of a sudden, the teens are seeking the Lord. And then there was a message in tongues by a teen never used before, and an interpretation. And the Spirit of the Lord fell in teen Sunday school class. It spilled over into the morning worship, and folks begin to get saved. Now listen, I hope no one feels left out for me particularly targeting the youth and thinking any comments is disparaging in any way. But I just believe, seek the Lord while he may be found. Hallelujah. How many wants to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Brother Durth, could you put that back on the board? Amen. 5-6. Amen. Let's stand across the building. Father, we want you to continue to have your way. Lord, we want to seek you to purify our hearts, our minds, our motives, our lives. Lord, we want to seek righteousness, because in seeking righteousness, we find you. In Jesus' name. Music, you can come if you like. If you're here tonight and you want to commit yourself to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, would you come and fill these altars tonight? and say, I'm going to seek the Lord while he may be found all over the building. I'm going to seek the Lord. I am going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's fill the altars tonight and begin to hunger and thirst right here tonight. Right here tonight. And remember, as you come, only righteousness will fill that void of your heart. Only righteousness will fill that void of your heart. Seek Christ like he sought you. Seek Christ like he sought you. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's seek him across the building. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've just talked with you tonight. That's all I've done, just talked with you. But oh God, help these things to get in our hearts.